You mentioned PI3 kinase inhibitors, and we have adalimumab out there that is approved in CLL, but also capanlisib that's approved in FL. Can you talk about what we know about PI3 kinase inhibitors in CLL?
We know that adalimumab and duvelisib both have quite a lot of activity in the relapse refractory setting. With adalimumab, there's actually no difference based on 17p deletion or IGVH mutation status in the registration trials, and the median PFS was about 19, 20 months. The activity of the drug is actually such that if patients can stay on it, they can potentially have much longer benefit than that. The main problem has been discontinuation due to adverse events. And the adverse events come in a few flavors. So one is you can get neutropenia, which can result in even sepsis and infection. And so if I'm using one of these drugs, I usually give patients growth factors if they become neutropenic to avoid that issue. The second issue is you can get opportunistic infections, so you need to give people pneumocystis and varicella prophylaxis, which I do in everyone. But the main issue, I think, is what we now understand to be a profile of autoimmune toxicity. The most prominent issue with which is a delayed diarrhea and colitis, which in the trials happens at a median of 7 months or so. So there's an early mild diarrhea that sometimes happens, readily manageable with Imodium, for example. But if you start getting late diarrhea, you have to have a very low threshold for suspecting that it's the drug. And I will often start patients on oral budesonide, even with very mild late diarrhea. And if you do that, a lot of times you can head it off at the pass and even be able to continue the drug. But if it gets worse despite that, you have to hold the drug. Maybe you have to give some prednisone and lower the dose. In doing that, you can often keep people on, but not always, and sometimes it's more severe. But many times there's this lower-grade prodrome before it gets severe, which if you're watching out for it, you can often avoid. With duvelisib, we don't know yet if the extent of the colitis is similar. It seems that patients have been able to stay on the drug more consistently than on the adalimumab trials in terms of the registration trial. But overall, the profile is similar with the colitis. And then the other issues are you can also get liver function abnormalities. So that requires monitoring every week or two in the first couple months. And then the other issue is pneumonitis, which can be drug-related. And so if patients do come in with a pulmonary syndrome, usually I hold drug immediately, evaluate for infection for 24 to 48 hours. If you don't find any infection and it looks radiographically like a drug-related pneumonitis, I'll often start steroids.
But that pneumonitis is also autoimmune?
We think so. There is less data from a biopsy perspective to prove that. But
are there any data with capanlisib in CLL or other PI3 kinase inhibitors?
So there were a few CLL patients on the initial capanlisib trial, but the data aren't really broken out and it's fairly limited. We're actually planning on doing a trial ourselves, as this is one interest of mine. But the interesting thing about capanlisib is it's actually a pan inhibitor. It's billed as alpha-delta, but it's really pan. But as you know, the side effect profile is a little bit different. It has infusion-related toxicities of hypertension and hyperglycemia, which are probably related to alpha inhibition. And there seems to be less diarrhea, less transaminitis, which may be because of the IV administration and or the punctuated dosing, where patients have a gap rather than continuous dosing.
Wow, that's interesting. I hadn't heard about that. Yeah, I heard, FL, I was getting this message that there are less autoimmune issues, but that other thing makes sense in terms of the IV, et cetera. Right now, in what situations are you using adalimumab? And do you use it alone or with rituximab?
I use it in often older patients who may have cardiac comorbidities, may have renal comorbidities that are issues with both ibrutinib and venetoclax. And we have actually studied the autoimmune toxicity in some detail in relation to a trial we did. And we found that the risk of it is much greater in younger patients. It's higher in patients with mutated IGVH. And so the older patient population who've had a few rounds of chemoimmunotherapy are well-suited to it, and that's where I tend to use it, sometimes even ahead of the others, as I was saying, with the comorbidities, but more commonly in patients who've had ibrutinib or had venetoclax.